On a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning, welcome Arizona. It is the 8 o'clock hour, your outdoor living hour, where we talk anything and everything that is outside of your home, primarily things that grow. But we get into hardscapes and designs and things that you need to help things grow, like sprinkler systems. It's Rosie on the House, and you can join the conversation at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Today we've got two guests. Bill Jenkins of Think Green Irrigation, good morning. And we have John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service, our Talking Trees host. So we've got a good variety of knowledge here. What y'all were talking out there, did you count up how many years you've been in the industry? You hear a lot of radio ads say, over 50 years combined experience. I'm going to guess right now, I'm going to say 70 years. No, I'm just kidding.
Not quite.
We're pushing that.
Maybe another, we may need another 10 or 15 years for that one.
Yes.
Well, Bill, I brought you down today because we've talked sprinklers a lot the last couple weeks, and we've had some good conversations about it. I just thought there's a lot of conversation on how to install the sprinkler system the right way.
Yes.
Most of them weren't. So let's back up. How do you fix one that wasn't done right? And starting off, how do you know it wasn't done right, aside from the obvious of my concrete's wet every time my sprinkler goes on?
Right. Design, you know, I sort of have a little three strikes you're out when I look at the system. I look at workmanship, I look at the design, and I look at the material quality. And if you've got two of those, you might be able to fix it up. If you're missing more than that, you know, you probably are looking at a major revamp. But recognizing that the system is correctly designed is important, and it does take a professional eye. You have to know quite a bit about hydraulics. You have to know about the products and how they're supposed to be installed, and you have to stick to the rules. There's not a whole lot of wiggle room when you're laying out, let's say, a lawn sprinkler system. It's either right or it isn't. And if it isn't, it's not going to be efficient, and it may not be reliable. You're going to have a hard time growing grass. So there are some products on the market if you have a situation where someone's made some mistakes, perhaps tied into the incorrect water source, or they've not followed the rules as far as hydraulics, and that's a subject that could take a whole hour in itself. But let's say there are some products on the market that you can use, and I'll use the term a professional Band-Aid, to correct an otherwise unrepairable situation. Toro makes some products, Hunter makes some products, Rainbird has some products. Again, it might be kind of a long discussion to getting into the details, but let's say that there are some products out there that can be used to retrofit an existing system that wasn't laid out properly, and it will make it work, if not correctly, make it work a lot better.
And you had mentioned a couple brand names in there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm a huge Rainbird fan, always have been. That's just, when I was a little kid, my dad was in this business, of course, and I remember I would put all my toys in Rainbird boxes. Remember the pop-away symbol on there. That's an old head. Anyway, so that's my history. I remember visiting the factory when I was about 10.
And where is that factory? Is it still there?
Glendora, California.
Okay.
And they have a nice factory out in Tucson, too.
I've tried to get in there before.
Yeah, they have several parts of their company there in Tucson, and we've toured the facility down there. It's pretty impressive.
Well, thank you for coming down here this morning. It's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you to join the conversation, or you can text questions to 411-923. If you have a question that you need visual assistance on, you can email pictures to info at Rosie, R-O-S-I-E, on thehouse.com. And John, you came out last week to the Outdoors Expo at Westworld, and when you left, we had, I can't remember how many calls we had you follow up with that we didn't get on the air, so I thought, well, yeah, we're going to keep talking trees another week.
Sure, if there's any other questions out there that you didn't have a chance to ask last week, yeah, we'd love to field those today. Yeah, it was great. It's a lot of fun last week. It was good. Had a bank of calls.
And we were talking a lot last week, specifically tree-wise. You had you always come with a sermon. I've got to find a way to tie sermon and horticulture and arborist all together for one for your on-air hour. Because talking trees doesn't do it justice on the depth that you dive into. Spent a lot of time below soil last week.
Yeah, we did. We talked a lot about how important the roots are to the shoot development above. You know, as go the roots, so go the shoots. And it's so important, especially this time of year, too, to have good quality soil conditions. Roma, you were saying off air how your tomatoes are still thriving this time of year. And quickly, Bill said, you know, you must have good roots. And that's true. You know, for plants to be doing well this time of year, they've got to have gotten established in a good rooting environment. You can't miss by making sure that you have good quality soil, good depth of saturation with your irrigation, and of course some organic matter worked into the soil over time through composting and occasionally fertilizing can really make the difference between a successful a planting of any sort, whether it be a vegetable or a shrub or a flower or a tree. A good quality soil at a good depth of soil is the key to a plant's flourishing, even in the middle of a summer like now.
And they're really important when we come into these windy seasons, and especially add a little moisture onto that. Every time one of we get a good storm somewhere, there's always trees falling down, and especially if they've got power lines tangled into it, or you've got a lot of time you've put into your tree and it's blown over.
Yeah, it's really a shame, you know, and sometimes we don't have any control over that in terms of the depth of the soil. We might have a hard pan or some caliche, and our trees are basically living in a 12 inches of topsoil that's over the top of a hard pan layer. But, I mean, there's nothing you can do at this point to try to improve those conditions around your existing trees in time for the next big storm we have. But there's
just make
one,
sure your chainsaw's working.
No, there's one thing you can do is just to be sure that you don't overwater just prior to a storm. You don't want a saturated root zone being susceptible to the entire root plate lifting in the soil. So if you can, I know it's hard this time of year because our plants need a lot of water, but try not to be doing your deep soaking irrigation just before we have a forecasted big storm coming through. Might want to kind of back off on the water if your plants can afford it.
And on backing off on the water, that's kind of a science, because how often do you hear a forecast for rain and you may see the cloud 2 miles away and it never gets to you? Or you hear a forecast for rain and nothing ever comes. It's just dust and blowing wind, and the forecast for rain doesn't mean we often get it. That's kind of where we come back to incorporating rain sensors into our irrigation system.
Good idea, sure. We have a lot of technology available with controllers nowadays, all kinds of sensors that can be installed to basically stop that wasting of water. If you're going to have Mother Nature is going to give you a really good drink, don't waste your water.
Have you heard of this website? I have not gone to it yet, and I don't have it in my notes, but you can go on, and it has a recording of soil, how much precipitation and moisture have been soaked in the soils in designated zones. And then you can match that to how much your individual tree or plant needs and know, you know what, because of this, I don't need to water this amount.
I'm gonna have to I'll be find honest, it. That's not something I've seen exactly, but there's a lot of resources, and of course on the web, about how to water properly and the water requirements of plants and trees this time of year. And it all relates to a concept called evapotranspiration, or ET. And it's basically you're putting the water back in that the plants and soil are losing. And that really drives your watering schedule, and it should be changed frequently. There are even controllers out nowadays that are considered smart controllers that update based on the local ET for your zip code or your area in different ways. And they basically program themselves once you set all the parameters in correctly. So there's some pretty neat stuff out there.
What is a system like that going to cost me?
That's a good question.
I shouldn't say cost. What kind of investment? Because that really is an investment. That's something that'll...
It's one of the higher end things, you know. To be truthful, we don't put a whole lot of them in because they are expensive. It's there, and some people are willing to pay for it, and some people are willing to put that investment into their landscape. Nice property with a lot of very expensive plants, it's worth it.
And this time of year, it's even, I'm sure y'all as professionals in the landscape industry, try and find an excuse to spend as little time outside as you can.
Or early.
Yeah, we do a lot of our appointments as early as we can. And on the times when we can't, like I've got an appointment on at 3 o'clock on Monday because of the customer's schedule. But we try to stand in the shade when we can.
Find the trees.
Could I just move over here into the shade for a minute? Yeah, it is pretty rough out there. Bill and I were just discussing how this time of year it's tough on our workers. You know, we've got our guys in the field every day. I still do some climbing, but not as much as I did back in the day. And my guys just are really dragging by 2-3 in the afternoon because they've been at it since 5:30. So yeah, we try to keep our guys out of the field. We start reducing the amount of work we put out in the field with our crews this time of year. And it might go be a good reminder for all of us just to back off your activity levels this time of year, especially in the real heat of the day, which is really between 2 and 4. It's just absolutely miserable.
And that's when mistakes happen. That's when injuries happen. That's when
it's dangerous. Sure. I mean, this is dangerous heat. You've got to stay hydrated, and you've got to know your body's limits, and you've got to take it easy and pace yourself.
And our guys are, you know, have been working in the field, you know, since early this spring. And so you kind of work your way into it. You're getting used to it as the temperatures increase. Our risk is when we hire some of those high school students or others who become available to us in late May, right around Memorial Day when school's out, and they jump on a crew at, you know, 110 degrees in the first week of June. And we've had a couple of guys over the last 20 years who've had a little heat exhaustion. We had to set them down in the shade and give them a little bit of a break. And you just got to watch out for those, hothouse plants who aren't quite adapted to the real world, and they get into the real heat and can't handle that.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U.
Hey, you're on the line with Lance Walheim, spokesperson for Bayer Advance and author of Roses for Dummies.
Hey, Lance. My knockout roses look sick.